Happy birthday, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Happy birthday. Peace. Big day. Big day for the committee. So, members, we are abbreviated today, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be very substantive. Right, Mr. Hine?
Right.
So we have one witness joining us today, and I think this is someone you will hear from more often in the Jobs and Economic Growth Committee. Steve Hine is going to have to spend a lot of time with us. So, Mr.
Chairman.
Hine, thank you for coming to the committee. I know you have a PowerPoint. Members have a copy of that. And apparently Senator Metzen might want to say something, too, and then
I'll just
turn it over to you. Senator Metzen.
Chairman, I'm just wondering. I'm looking at his suntan.
Yeah.
How
hard he's working for the taxpayers, eh?
I'm sorry I wasn't here 2 weeks ago when you asked initially, but I was unavoidably detained.
Yeah, Jamaica.
Senator Metzen, we'll have an inquiry has begun.
Okay.
Mr. Hine, welcome to the committee, and we look forward to working with you this session.
Thank you, Senator Michelle. Thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity to come by and spend what time we have. I hope to do this justice in the time that we have, but, you know, like you say, I'm happy to come back any time. Just by way of introduction for the new members, my name is Steve Hine. I'm the research director at the Department of Employment and Economic Development. The Labor Market Information Office. That's the state entity that's responsible for the production and analysis of our state's official employment and unemployment statistics. We work very closely with the Bureau of Labor Statistics in D.C., and there's an entity like mine in each state. And so it's very much a unique sort of Fed-state cooperative arrangement. So having said that, I just hope to achieve in the next half hour or so just a brief overview of where we've been, particularly with respect to the recently ended recession, where we're at now, what does the recovery so far look like, and where are we likely to go in the future. I love charts. And the more color, the better. So I hope everybody can either see the charts on the handouts or on the slide here. But this chart illustrates the level of employment in Minnesota and the nation over the past two decades and clearly shows the magnitude. This sort of reminiscent of Wild Thing, right, at Valley Fair, you know, that long climb that precedes the dips. But it clearly shows the magnitude of the decline that we have experienced with this recent recession. It illustrates, I think, how closely we also tend to track the nation over time. Although, if you look at the very tail end of these lines, you can see that we've been on a steeper upward trajectory than has the nation. But if historic tendencies continue, though, I think we would expect us to see that gap not grow perpetually, but rather start to narrow over time. And I think the big question we are looking at right now is whether the national trajectory will start to look more like ours or whether we'll start to look more like the nation in terms of the more lethargic job growth.
Mr. Hine, if I can stop you just on this chart, I want to make sure I'm reading it right. So are you saying that Minnesota total non-farm employment in 2010 is that about the same number as we were back in the year 2000?
Exactly. Between the peak in February of 2008, that's when we hit the top, through September of 2009, which is when we hit our jobs trough, we lost 162,200 jobs. That was a 5.8% decline. Since then, we've regained 33,000 jobs. So at our trough, we had 37,500 fewer jobs than we had in the previous 2001 recessionary trough. And even with our increase since September 2009, we're still down at 1999 levels. We currently are at about November 1999 levels, so that's exactly right.
Mr. Hine, I just for members, I think that's – I'm not sure I've heard it described in that way before, but if you're trying to put together a budget for 2011 and 2012 and you have employment in the state at 1999,
right.
2000 levels
– right. Right. And over that time, we've had an increase in our working age, our workforce of about 200,000. So we've got the same number of jobs with 200,000 more people that are interested in taking those jobs. I'm increasing my volume, aren't I?
It's okay.
Okay. Here's another comparison of Minnesota's performance during and subsequent to previous recessions in comparison to the recent one. The recent recession, the one in the dark blue line there, was officially 18 months long. That set a post-depression record and was more than 10 months longer than the average duration of all post-war recessions before that. It's also been the deepest, with, again, that 5.8% decline in jobs. The U.S., the nation, fell 6.3%. So we did manage to fare somewhat better than the nation by that measure. The post-war average recession shed 1.2%. of our state jobs, making this one nearly five times more severe than previous recessions since World War II. It was even deeper than the 4.25% that we lost in the 1982 recession, which had been previously the deepest on record. I think it's also important to note that the recovery of the past 15 months has been less robust than the post-war average, and well below that of the 1982 recession, when we regained all of the jobs that we lost during that 16-month recession in the subsequent 14 months. As of December, we've regained just about one-fifth of the jobs that we lost during the recession. That's over an 18-month recovery period. Now, no one statistic is able to describe employment conditions in their entirety, you know, much like the temperature doesn't describe everything about our weather conditions. But one of the most useful that I find is what's called the employment to population ratio. By this measure, both the state and the nation have been experiencing sustained and troubling declines over the last decade. We peaked just before the 2001 recession at about 73% of our working age population being employed. All right, we're down around 66.5% currently. We do remain one of the top states in terms of this ratio, but the decline that we have experienced is largely a result of a sustained departure of many of our working-age citizens from our workforce. Had we not been experiencing this departure from the workforce, in fact, our unemployment rate and level would have been roughly double what it currently is. So I think it's worth keeping in mind that although the numbers that we'll see here in terms of unemployment are quite alarming, it could have been a lot worse had there not been this sustained departure from the labor force over the last 10 years.
And Mr. Hine, on that point, so a sustained departure from the workforce. People are giving up. People are not looking for work anymore. What are they doing?
Well, you certainly expect to see some of that departure occurring during recessions when opportunities are less available. I'll have a chart later on that'll show what's referred to as the discouraged worker effect. But there's much more going on. I mean, we've seen this departure of people from the workforce occurring during periods of job growth as well as job loss. You look across the demographic groups, and it's an unanswered question right now as to what's driving this departure. But it's certainly a bit concerning, especially when you consider the fact that in the coming decade, we're going to see more rapid departures on the part of those that are reaching retirement age, the baby boom bubble entering retirement age. One measure by which we have recovered, in a sense, is our unemployment rate gap relative to the nation. This chart shows the last 35 years of unemployment rates for the state and the nation. After having averaged about a 1.5-point advantage over 30 years prior to 2007, we roughly matched the nation between December 06 and April 08 as we entered the recession. But since May and June of 09, when we peaked at 8.4%, and December, when we saw a 7% rate of unemployment, while the U.S. rate has only improved slightly, we now enjoy a 2.5-point, 2.4-point advantage over the nation by this measure. Although that doesn't factor in yet the 0.4 of a drop we saw in the national rate to 9%. In January, as our January numbers are not yet available. This is the slide that I was referring to, Senator. While this past recession resulted in record numbers of Minnesotans being officially unemployed, we also experienced dramatic increases in unofficial unemployment and underemployment. The red here is a calculation. This is my own calculation. It's not official statistics, but the red there roughly approximates the number of people that are deemed to be unemployed by the official definition of being unemployed. But in addition to that, we have the discouraged workers, marginally attached, and part-time workers that we also want to take into consideration. Between mid-2006, when the official unemployment rate was at its low point of 3.9%, and mid-2009, when it peaked at 8.4, the number of officially unemployed more than doubled, from 113,000 to 250,000, a quarter million. But in addition, the number of discouraged workers increased from around 3,000 to over 10,000 over that time period. The discouraged worker effect is certainly significant in conceptual terms, but quantitatively, it's not as big as I think a lot of people might believe it to be. The marginally attached was enough, which is Senator. Yes.
Senator DeCraeff has a question for you, Mr. Hine.
Hi, thank you, Chairman Michelle. And Mr. Hines, I just have a question. I'm trying to understand this chart, and I find this interesting. When you look from 2005 to 2006 and from 2006 to 2007, does that basically show seasonal workers? Are those spikes and those valleys in those years, is that seasonal workers?
Senator, no. These are drawn from a fairly sparse sample of households that are the basis for the official statistics. I'm using that sparse set of data to generate these unofficial estimates of the discouraged workers and so on. So a lot of that is just either natural economic fluctuations or volatility that's based on this relatively small sample. But I have attempted, anyways, to remove those seasonal variations because those are quite significant and tend to mask the trends that we're particularly interested in.
Okay.
Hang on, Mr. Hine. I've got one more for you. Maybe two more. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hine, what would your estimate be of the total unofficial unemployment rate for the state of Minnesota based on these numbers?
Well, if you look at the peak, if I can describe those part-time workers, those are obviously the most significant addition to the official statistics. Those are individuals that in the course of this household survey respond that they would like to work full-time, but because of economic conditions are only offered part-time work. So those are what we would call underemployed. If you add those to the marginally attached and discouraged workers, the number is roughly double what the official data are. I mentioned that officially we had about 250,000 unemployed. The total number of unemployed and underemployed peaked at about 425,000. The vast majority of those additional underemployed being those part-time workers that would prefer full-time work. So if we look
Senator Miller, for a follow-up here, Mr. Hines.
So roughly 15%?
It peaked at 14.7%.
14.7, okay.
14.7 was our peak, what's called U6 in the federal statistics. So this is meant to correspond to that broader measure of unemployment that's called U6. And here it was 14.7. Nationally, if I recall right, it peaked at about 17%.
Thank you. Mr. Hine, I've got one more for you from Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Hine, got a couple questions. Maybe I know you're going to get to this a little bit later on about the unemployment claims, but I'm just wondering, and I know where we're at today is different than what we've been at in previous years with unemployment, but I'm just wondering, and I'm sure you've got the data, and I was just wondering if we could get it. When a person does go on unemployment, typically how long are they on? And then what's different about, you know, typical years in the past versus the recession period that we're in? And then also maybe a little, I've got a couple of questions in mixed in here. Also a little caveat to what Senator Miller brought up is, you know, we have these unofficial numbers, but if we did a better job of capturing that, I'm just wondering how that extension works, because I think you have to be at 110% of the national unemployment rate to qualify for the federal extension. Is that correct? And I'm just
wondering. There are various triggers for the many different extensions that are currently in place and available.
And then I'm just wondering, when a person runs out of unemployment, when that safety net falls out, then how long does it take them to find employment? So just wondering if you could give me some of those.
I think some of the subsequent slides here will get at some of what you're asking. I don't know the answer to some of those questions, such as how long does it take typically for an individual to find work after their benefits expire. You know, in a sense, they drop off the records at that point, and it's can be difficult to identify that. But I do have some data on the reemployment rate of those that do file for unemployment benefits.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hines, thank you for your information. Very, very intriguing and interesting information.
Thank you.
If, again, probing into the underemployed category, if we look at the very right hand of your chart, the unemployed, the red section tends to trend down. And if you look at the very top line that includes all of the categories, including the part-time workers, it is also trending down. It would appear to me, without knowing the actual numbers, that the unemployment rate is improving. The underemployment rate looks to be somewhat stable and consistent. Would that be a fair assumption looking at that chart?
So if we were to take out the downward trend that's driven by the decrease in officially unemployed, would we not see as dramatic a dip at the top? I think you're absolutely right there, that to the extent that I can extract that much detail out of these sparsely populated data sets, I think you're absolutely correct in that there's been a more dramatic improvement in that official definition of unemployed than there has been in this underemployment component.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hine, why don't you continue with your presentation here, and we'll probably have a few more probes for you.
Thank you.
Go on.
Thank you. Okay. I think this is also important to notice from, again, these sparsely populated unofficial statistics, but nonetheless, I am able to discern from those data some of the unemployment conditions that are being experienced by demographic groups. In Minnesota, we continue to have one of the largest or the highest Black unemployment rates in the nation. Other state data are not available to me, of course, in this level of detail, but based on 2009 annual average data that are available, only Wisconsin had a higher rate of unemployment for blacks in their state. And the gap that we had between whites and blacks at that time, and that continues to be quite large, was the highest in the nation. Teens are also experiencing very high unemployment, both here and nationally. In fact, somewhat higher nationally, more around 25% than our current 22.5% for teens here. So I
That's good.
Think that this is one area where we lead the nation that is of some concern. Returning to where we seem to be going, there are signs of improvement, and I want to show you some that I've been paying attention to. We have a long way to go to get back to something resembling full employment, but there are these strong signs that we are moving in the right direction. In terms of the pace of layoffs, one clear indicator that we use is the number of people that are applying for unemployment benefits each month. This chart depicts the monthly level, seasonally adjusted, of these applications. Now, over previous business cycles, there's tended to be a strong correlation between sustained job growth on one hand and whether or not we're above or below 25,000 new claims per month for unemployment benefits on the other. As you can see, during the worst of the recession, the level of claims per month was well over 40,000 for quite a long time. But it's now dropped off. And in fact, in December, for the first time since the onset of the recession, in December of 2007, we have fallen back below that 25,000 level. I'm very interested to see, as January, February, and subsequent months of data become available, whether we are going to stay down below that 25,000 level for sustained periods of time or not. I think that will be a strong indicator as to whether we can expect to see sustained and stronger job growth in the future. Not only are layoffs diminishing, but hiring has also been on the uptick. This chart shows the share of new claimants, and this gets at your question, Senator, I hope, the share of new claimants during each quarter since the recession was officially declared that did not show up in our records as having reemployed in the subsequent quarter. It also distinguishes between all claimants in the red bars and what we refer to as SKs, that is, those that indicate in their application that they have been permanently separated from their job rather than being on a temporary furlough or expecting a recall. So, for example, of all the individuals that filed for unemployment benefits during the second quarter of 2010, the very right hand of the chart here, fewer than 30% of them did not reappear in our records as being employed during the third quarter. Okay, so more than 70% of those claimants that filed during, April, May, June last year were reemployed sometime in the subsequent quarter, a rate that has not occurred again since before the recession hit. So the rate at which people are finding reemployment after a layoff, whether they're permanently laid off or on temporary furlough, seems to be getting back to pre-recessionary or expansionary levels. Another indicator of this improvement in hiring is this chart that shows the number of unemployed Minnesotans in the red line and the number of online job postings for employment as reported by the Conference Board. These are the consumer confidence people. Have recently started this, what they call their Help Wanted Online Index. They spider or scrape online job boards and tabulate these by state. So the blue line here is an indication of how many jobs are currently posted, or at least online postings. You can see that after having dropped off from around 80,000 postings per month before the recession to fewer than 50,000, the number of postings is back up around that pre-recessionary 80,000 per month level. To put the data another way, There were about 1.5 unemployed folks per job posting in mid-2007 before the recession hit. That went up to nearly 5 unemployed individuals per job posting in the depths of the recession. And since then, has dropped back down to around 2.5. Not where we were before, but half what the number was a year and a half ago. Indeed, in the Conference Board's January release, Minnesota had the 10th best ratio by this measure in the nation, and the Twin Cities, the metro area, was the 3rd best amongst major metropolitan areas after Washington, D.C. and Boston. So where do we expect to go from here? Our most recent one-year-ahead projections were completed nearly 3 months ago now. And at the time, there continued to be great uncertainty about job growth. And in that respect, not a lot has perhaps changed. So we felt it necessary to be tempered in our outlook at the time, projecting job growth of around 28,000 over the next year, about 1%, pretty comparable to what we have experienced over the past year. Certainly some sectors will fare better than others, led by areas like professional and business services, education and healthcare services. The only sectors projected to lose jobs over the next year are that beleaguered construction sector, as well as government, although both are expected to shed fewer jobs than they have over the past year. Financial services and other services, sort of a catch-all category, are expected to reverse their recent job losses, while areas like manufacturing, information, and leisure and hospitality are projected to grow, but less rapidly than they have over the past year. By occupational group, only the construction trades are expected to continue to shed jobs. Higher than average growth is expected to come in areas such as healthcare and personal care services, IT or those computer jobs, and manufacturing-related production jobs. Note, too, that as always, the hiring to replace retirements and other departures will continue to provide significant opportunities to job seekers over the coming year.
Hang on, Mr. Hine. I have Senator Daley and then Senator Howe.
Yes, Senator.
Just to thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hine. I was hoping that I would hear a part of the story so that I could better understand a slide that you had several slides back, but I don't think we're going to get to it. So if you could go to the slide titled Regaining Our Edge in Unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
It tells an interesting story where Minnesota is very reflective, albeit at a lower rate than the national. We were step in step, stride for stride, near the end here. And then I'd like to just hear about the story where we departed. It's just a rapid departure from what was happening at the federal level or nationwide, and we really went in the other direction with our unemployment. What, can you share the story where the blue...
Where they met, where they converged?
Where they're the same, and then the blue line goes almost straight down.
Right.
And yet it continues upward at the national level.
Thank you. Good question, Senator. And at the time, there was a lot of well-placed anxiety about that. On my own part, as well as many others. Suddenly, after this 1.5-point advantage over 30 years, we were suddenly, in fact, a couple of months, we were a tenth of a point higher than the nation in unemployment. In retrospect now, with the recovery having occurred and this gap reappearing, I think that we can safely attribute this more to the timing and the depth of the recession that we have just gone through. Our housing bubble that created much of the unemployment that subsequently followed occurred somewhat earlier than nationally, and particularly some of the large states that are still experiencing significant recessionary conditions, like California and Arizona and Florida. So some of those states had the recession hit much later. And you factor in a California into these national numbers, and they can drive that change quite significantly all on their own. So you'll see that the Minnesota unemployment rate started to turn up about 9 months earlier than did the nation, in large part because of some of those states experiencing their downturns significantly later than we did. And so the timing part had something to do with it. And it was also the case that we started to see such a dramatically rapid rise that we closed that 1.5-point gap, or what was closer to 1-point gap at the time, within the 9 months that it took for the nation to start to turn upward in unemployment as well. So I, you know, now that we've regained the gap, I don't think it's a case that we sort of lost our edge, or our highly educated workforce suddenly became less of an advantage to us, that it certainly seems now that it was a matter of the timing and the depth of that recession.
Just to confirm, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to confirm, it didn't have anything to do with any policy changes that were made or any decisions at the state government level in any way that you're aware of?
No, I could not point at any policy actions that would drive unemployment in one direction or another as rapidly and as significantly as we experienced at the time.
We've got Senator Howe and then Senator Nelson. Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Hine, how many, and maybe you can't tell me this off your head, but how many times have we adjusted the minimum wage in the last two decades? I mean, has there been several?
The last two decades?
Yeah.
Here in the state, we were subject to the three-step increase because they eventually rose above the high, you know, the higher than national. This is the Department of Labor and Industries.
Sure.
So I'm just going by, you know, what I recall. But nationally, as the unemployment, the minimum wage was increased incrementally over 3 years in three steps. We experienced that. We had our own state increase that raised the minimum wage. You know, there was a long time where that minimum wage had been held steady. So I can't how many times that was raised.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Hine, the reason I asked that question, I'm just wondering if we can correlate some of those numbers to some of this unemployment, and in particular when you look at not all groups looking effective. You know, I'm looking at the African-American group and the teens group, and I'm just wondering, you know, if there's can be any correlation to the adjustments in minimum wage to the selection of who people are hiring or how that affects different groups. And I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be good to do some modeling to see if that has an effect. Because I know in my experience, when the minimum wage went up, well, instead of hiring a high school kid that, was 16, 17, or 18, you could get a full-time person or an adult for that wage. Right. So you'd rather go with the adult than the teen. And I think it's very important whether it's a group or a teens that, you know, a lot of these entry-level jobs, it's how they get their start and build a resume to get. And I'm just wondering if it's counterproductive, and I'd just like to see some modeling on that. And maybe we need to use, you know, have the unemployment along with the labor and industry to look at that to see, are we getting the desired effect? Because I know what we want to do is increase the standard of living for everybody, but is that counterproductive to certain groups that aren't getting that entry-level, that resume-building job? Any thoughts to that?
We haven't analyzed that in my office, as that's the responsibility of a different department. I will say that at the time that labor market conditions were best for teens, the late 90s, when participation was much higher than it is now and unemployment was much lower, there was an availability of jobs that made the minimum wage somewhat ineffective.
Sure.
I can recall, you know, pizza delivery jobs being offered for $12 an hour. So, you know, it does need to be looked at in terms of overall market conditions, and certainly things like the minimum wage become more prevalent or more of an impediment to hiring when conditions are slack. So it's sort of a horse and cart issue. Yeah, you do see higher unemployment by those groups that are more likely to be subject to minimum wage constraints, but whether that's because of the minimum wage constraint causing the unemployment or slack conditions creating unemployment for those groups that are more likely to be experiencing difficulty in finding jobs is a causal relationship that I think is also worth considering.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, you know, what the correlation is there, because when you look at the teens and the African Americans, they don't fall identical lines, but at the end, you know, where we're at 2010, they're right together. And I'm just wondering if there's similar factors in either work experience, educational experience, or why there's such a close correlation at the end there.
I think the reasons for those gaps is an unanswered question, to my mind anyways.
Okay.
I think frequently my role is to point out, you know, what the data suggest and hope that others will pick up the ball and conduct the analysis. But I think that's my purpose here in presenting those charts, not to answer the question as to why, but point out that there is this in the data.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hine, could you put up the slide that shows that not all groups are affected equally that Senator Howe was referring to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just could not get off of this slide. This is just ghastly. When we look at the at this huge gap, and as you were discussing the gap, and you use the same word that we use in education, gap, and that we're at the top of the nation as far as this employment gap, we're at the top. We have this dubious distinction, this terrible distinction, of being at the top of the nation in the achievement gap as well. And so I just like our members to think about this. This is an education issue, and we need to address that. This is an area where we need to change this statistic. I don't know if there's a way to actually overlay this data with our educational data, but it is very significant that we have this achievement gap, this very same nation-leading achievement gap when it comes to education too.
Thank you, Senator. That was my intent, to bring this to the light of day. Yes.
Well, I'll be asking you for this slide. I have one other question, Mr. Chair, and it's the slide improved ratio of openings to unemployed. Great. I guess I've never seen these type of correlations before between numbers. Very interesting. I don't know if you have this at your fingertips, but maybe you could get it for me. I'm interested particularly in Rochester in that regard. And the reason I'm thinking that is if you think about those sectors that are growing, healthcare, IT, our largest public employer, Mayo Clinic, and then, of course, IBM as well. So I'd like to see those numbers, that ratio, as far as the Rochester area, if you happen to have that. Offline,
Senator,
if you don't today.
Yeah. Okay. The conference board only does it for larger metro areas, so Rochester, St. Cloud, Duluth would not be part of their data set. We do conduct our own semi-annual job vacancy survey, entirely different methodology, counting things in different ways, but as an indicator of overall trends and where the opportunities are in healthcare or elsewhere. We will be releasing our most recent round of that survey within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, thank you. I'll look for that. And what's the name of that again?
It's the job vacancy survey, call it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let me just I have a paragraph that I start with in conclusion. We've recently experienced the worst downturn in our lifetimes. I don't think anybody here is old enough to have been around in the Depression. And a full recovery will take considerable time. For example, in the 1.5 years since the recession officially ended, I mentioned that we have regained 1/5 of the jobs that we lost during the 1.5-year-long recession. Extrapolating at that rate, it's going to take 6 more years to regain our pre-recessionary peak. Now, many of the indicators that we've just looked at suggest that I think we may see an acceleration. We hope to see an acceleration of job growth in the near term, hence shortening that time frame from 6 years. And that'd be 2017 before we saw full employment again. But as always, there remain threats to this recovery that have not fully played out yet. I still have a great deal of hesitancy in dramatically improving our one-year-ahead projections. We still have a lot of housing market correction to go through. We still see high foreclosure rates, for example. I think recently international instabilities have also increased. So, you know, there are threats, but I certainly hope that we see accelerated job growth in the future. With that, I'll end my comments.
Members, any other questions or comments for Mr. Hine? Mr. Hine, we hope to have you back.
I hope to be back. Thank you.
Hope to have you back with even better news and better charts and better graphs. I appreciate you putting together a kind of a quick one for us this morning. Members, we have I'll give you a little preview of next week. We will have a couple groups representing bio business. There's been a couple reports out recently, and I know that's a particular concern of Senator Nelson's. So we will hear from that industry on Tuesday. Members, we're on the floor at 11:30 for this afternoon's State of the State with the governor. So with that, committee is adjourned.
Would you come home, Bill?